Freedom Worship Center in Arburg, Manitoba. It's really exciting for me. I'm in Calgary, and I'm excited to be able to speak to you from Calgary today and present to you a message that I believe is going to encourage you. You know, we're in the Advent season right now, and so the message I want to talk about today is the promise of peace. And we're going to look at the Word of God and just see how God wants us to know His shalom, His peace. But I just want to give you greetings from Calgary and on behalf of LifeLinks International as well, which I now lead as the apostolic team leader. We are so blessed to have your church within our organization. We're thrilled. And, you know, last September, Val and I were with you. October last year, 2019, Val and I were with you all and we loved it. We enjoyed it. That feels like years ago now, doesn't it? I mean, the whole world has changed in the last year, but I just want to say to you, we love you, we appreciate you, and I'm thrilled today to get to share the Word of God with you. So I hope that as I do, you would be really blessed. And I want to talk to you that the scripture I want to share this morning is from Psalm 23, and I'm going to read it here, and then I'm going to give you a breakdown of some thoughts from Psalm 23. Of course, Psalm 23 is a very famous passage where, you know, the Lord is likened to the shepherd, right? He is the shepherd of our souls and of our lives. And here's what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a famous passage, isn't it? And as we talk today about the promise of peace in this Advent season and how, you know, the birth of Jesus is a promise of peace for us. And as the good shepherd, he is the one who brings peace to us. I want to use this Psalm 23 this morning as an opportunity to illustrate that and to encourage you as you move forward towards Christmas. You know, peace is needed in this world today, isn't it? As I look around at the news and as I consider what's happening with COVID-19 and in our country and in our nation and the world, I realize that we need peace, don't we? People need peace. People need a sense that they can have rest in the Lord, that they can have peace in their lives and that everything's going to be okay. And I think of a quote by a man named Ivan Goncharov. And in 1859, he wrote a novel. And here's what he said in that novel. He said, I desire nothing, seek nothing but peace. The slumber of the soul. I have tasted all the hollowness and wretchedness of life, and I despise it heartily. Whoever has lived and thought cannot but in his soul despise humanity. Boy, this guy's got a few issues, right? He's a bit negative. Activity, cares, worries, distractions. I am sick of them all. Now that was written in 1859. I think that would apply to many people today, or saying, I desire nothing but peace. I know what life's all about. I've seen a lot of life, and without peace, it's really not worth anything. That's what he's saying. So today I want to talk to you about that, and I want to look at what Jesus represents to us when it comes to us having peace. You know, in Isaiah 53 verse 5, this is a famous passage that references the Messiah and talks about Jesus and what, you know he was born, we celebrate that at Christmas, and then of course he grew up and he died on a cross and then he rose again from the grave. And what he did through his sacrifice changed everything for us. Here's what Isaiah 53 verse 5 says. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And I really like this part. It says, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. You know, Jesus paid a price for our sins when he died on that cross. And that punishment brought us peace. Jesus died. Jesus was born, grew up, died, and was resurrected so you and I can have peace. So you and I can have peace. So today I want to look at that. And that word peace in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, is actually a word called shalom. And you know, it's a greeting that Jewish people even to this day give. It's a hello greeting, and it's also a goodbye greeting. And when you hear what it actually means, you're going to be really blessed to think that is a wonderful greeting that people are giving each other. Because shalom isn't just meaning peace in just a simple emotional aspect. It actually means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, which can imply health, tranquility. It also has the connotation of being safe. And so shalom, peace, God's peace, as that word in the Old Testament would imply, is more than just that emotion. It is so much more. And it implies a lifestyle of complete confidence in God and just really contentment is what I see. And so I want to unpack the whole concept of shalom today. I want to unpack what it means to walk in that shalom kind of peace in our lives. And to do that, I want to go back to that Psalm 23 that Val read earlier. And I want to look at the picture there of the shepherd. And, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And that is the picture of Psalm 23. And we know that Jesus is often referred to as the good shepherd. And so I want to unpack briefly three qualities from that psalm that I believe represent who Jesus is, why he was born, why he grew up and died, and what that means for you and me. That in him, you and I actually have that shalom peace. So I want to look at the shepherd, I want to look at sheep. And first, before we get into all this, I want to give you a few quick fun facts about sheep. I did have to do a little research about it. And so here's some things you may not know about sheep. First of all, sheep don't have top teeth. I never knew this. They have thick gums called a dental pad. So some of you are like, I never knew this. I didn't care to know this. I get it. Interesting facts. U.S. President Woodrow Wilson, he kept a flock of sheep on the White House's lawn to trim the grass. Isn't that organic? That's amazing. And the wool was sold to raise money for the Red Cross in World War I. Isn't that amazing? The White House lawn was in the past groomed by sheep. The first sheep in North America probably came over with Christopher Columbus on his second voyage in 1493. Here's a very interesting fact. A recent study showed that sheep can remember the faces of up to 50 other sheep for more than 2 years. Now, this raises questions to me, okay? First of all, that's amazing that one sheep could remember the faces of 50 other sheep. For one thing, I don't know how the faces look different. I'm sure they do to sheep. To me, they don't look that different. The second thing is, how did they figure this out? I mean, sheep can't talk, so how did they know that sheep could recognize up to 50 other sheep for a couple years? I don't know. It's amazing. Anyway, something to ponder. The last thing about sheep and shepherds is that some of the most well-known Bible people were actually shepherds. Abel, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, the prophet Amos, King David. So pretty significant occupation in the Bible and obviously has meaning for us today. And I want to unpack that. So I want to look at these three qualities of the shepherd that relate to how God deals with us and how the Lord is actually the provider of the shalom in our lives. Okay, so here we go. The first thing is this. In the Old Testament, in the ancient times, the shepherd was actually the door of the sheepfold. And it relates to the fact that Jesus is actually the door of our lives. He's actually the one who keeps us safe. Now, let me give you a picture of this. So, you know, in this world that we're in, I don't know about you, but safety is pretty important, right? I think all of us from an early age, in fact, I think safety as a human being comes right out of the womb. We had four sons. We have four sons, and I remember the birth of those four sons, and every one of them, once they were born, they were wrapped up tight in that blanket so they felt secure and, you know, just comfortable, and it was almost like being back in the womb, and there was a sense of safety in being that tightly secured. And I think that all through life in some fashion, obviously not in that way, but in some fashion, we all like to feel safe. We all like to feel secure in our lifestyle, in where we live, in our relationships, in our finances, in the food we eat, all those things. We like safety. We like security. And in this world today, I think many people are looking for safety. I want to feel secure. I want to feel like everything's okay and that I'm going to be taken care of. And so I think this picture of the sheepfold is really significant. In the ancient times, they would have a rock wall enclosure where there'd be loosely stacked stones that would provide protection against robbers, against animals that would try to come and attack the sheep. And what would happen is the shepherd would lie in the doorway. And so he'd get all the sheep in at night and they'd all be in the enclosure. And then he would lie in the doorway. And basically, it would be, you're going to get these sheep over my dead body. That was really the mindset. Because again, like I said, he was the door, literally, so that no animals could come in, so that no thieves could come in and attack the sheep. And I love that picture. First of all, it shows such an intimacy between that shepherd and his sheep, because, you know, he's literally willing to lay down his life to protect those sheep. And that is powerful in itself. But also it just shows, you know, how valuable those sheep are. And so I think for you and I, we need to take this picture for ourselves. John 10, Jesus uses this very picture when he talks about us and when he talks about himself and what he represents to us. Here's what he says. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I really like this passage in the sense that Jesus says, hey, listen, in your life, I'm the gate. And the enemy would try to come in and steal from you and take from you, even your soul, as it were. But I'm the gate. And if you will depend on me, if you'll give your life to me, if you'll surrender to my purposes and allow me to come into your life, forgive you of your sins and serve me, then I become the gate of your life. I become a protection to you. And the enemy, he wants to come in, rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's how Jesus is the gate. We're within, when we're one of his followers, we're within the sheepfold and he's the gate and he won't allow the enemy in. I love that picture. I really do. You know, I just, as I was praying about this message, I just thought that some of you watching really need to sense this today. You're really struggling with feeling safe. I sense that there are some people that are going to be watching this. You feel unsafe. You feel insecure. You don't have that sense of shalom, that nothing's missing, that nothing is out of sorts, that everything is secure. You feel like, I feel very insecure and unsafe. And I feel like the Lord wants to say to you today, I have this. I have you. I love you. I am the gate. I am the one that protects you. You are within my sheepfold. You can rest in that. You can be confident that I'm walking ahead of you, you know, in your life, and that you are secure and safe, and that I'm the gate. I just really want to project that onto you today. And if you do feel that lack of safety, just take a moment, pause, and say, thank you, Jesus, that you're the gate in my life. Thank you that you protect me. Thank you that I'm secure in my relationship with you. Thank you that the enemy can't just come in and steal and rob and kill and destroy in my life. Thank you that you are the one who protects me. Just declare that today over your life. So that's the first picture I want to give you. The second picture today out of Psalm 23 and this picture of the shepherd and the sheep is the fact that the shepherd anointed the heads of the sheep with oil. And that's what Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. And the reason that he did that was to protect them against the attack of parasites. And I'm going to give you a picture here. It's just a heads up. It's a bit gross, okay? So, you know, just I'm trying not to get too detailed, but you do need to see the essence of this picture. Here's what happened. The shepherd would have to be very, very sensitive to the needs of his sheep. And he needed to be watching out for parasites. What could happen to a sheep if they weren't properly taken care of is that they could get larvae of nose flies could come and lay eggs in their nose. Gross, I know. And what would happen is obviously those eggs would hatch. There'd be larvae that would begin to grow within their nasal passages. As some of you are already cringing thinking about this. And then obviously the sheep would just be irritated and tormented by those larvae, by what was going on. And they can't take their hands and, you know, rub their nose or get rid of it. So they would be rubbing it on the ground. They would be hitting their heads against trees. Like, honestly, some of them would literally want to kill themselves. They would just be going nuts with the torment from those nose flies. And so the picture is the shepherd would be aware of the needs of the sheep. He'd know that this was happening. And so he would rub into the head of the sheep, into the nose and those areas. He would rub in this oil with a certain scent that would keep the flies away. They wouldn't want to lay eggs there. They wouldn't want to go near it. And so the sheep would be protected from all of this torment. And you know, as I was thinking about that, I think there's a picture there for us. And I'm going to read a scripture here in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. And this is in the Message paraphrase. It says this: people with their minds set on you, that's on God, you keep completely whole. Wow, that's the picture of shalom, wholeness, right? You keep completely whole. Steady on their feet because they keep at it and they don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God, you have a sure thing. People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole. I really like that. And I think it speaks to this aspect of how the sheep would be tormented by these flies. And I think often if we don't keep our minds set on the Lord and focused on truth and touched by His Holy Spirit, almost like that oil being poured over our minds and spirits, then we're open to the enemy. We're open to the lies of the devil. And, you know, he comes and he buzzes around us and tries to lay seeds, thoughts, as it were, into our minds and spirits that will start to torment us. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of discouragement and depression. And all of a sudden, we're tormented. We're harassed. But I love the picture of the shepherd, because what happens with the shepherd is he puts the oil on his sheep. And I believe this, listen to me on this. I believe God wants to, in these days, to anoint our minds and our spirits so that the enemy will not have effect. You know, again, I just really sense, and I just want to speak right into this camera. There are people watching and hearing today, and the enemy's been buzzing around you. He's been buzzing around trying to plant those seeds, trying to, you know, get into your thinking and into your spirit, as it were, with his thoughts and his ideas, and create fear and create uncertainty and cause you to feel unsafe and cause you to be tormented. I feel there's even people watching that you're dealing with torment. You're dealing with the tormenting thoughts of the enemy. And I want to speak life to you today in this season that God wants to bring life to you, that he wants to anoint you, rub in the oil of his spirit today into your mind and spirit, that you would feel refreshed, that you would feel encouraged, and that those thoughts couldn't land, those ideas couldn't land. I speak that over you today. I speak truth over you today. You are not a victim. You do not have to give in to all of this. You can stand, and God says, I stand with you, and by my spirit, I'm going to fill you with new life and with truth. You know, this week, I'm in my office right now, and this week I just, you know, I practiced the presence of God. I came here early, and one day in particular, and I just worshiped and spent some real time when the building was empty in prayer and worship, and just needed God like I do every day. And as I was worshiping and as I lifted my hands and I just looked to the Lord, I felt the rain of the Holy Spirit come down on me. I felt the presence of God fill me. I could feel the strength coming into me. And I realized that my confidence and my joy and my peace was not the absence of fear. It was not the absence of difficulty. It was because of the presence of God, the presence of His Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you with something? Practice the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, especially in these days. You know, I love, we just finished a couple of Alpha courses online here at our church. And I love what they teach at the end, which is, come Holy Spirit. And we literally just, on our Zoom chat, we just put our hands out like this and we just said, come Holy Spirit. And, you know, people on the Zoom chat, one person said, I just feel joy. You know, she just was filled with joy because the Holy Spirit filled her as she welcomed him. You know, there was no hype. We didn't have a lot of worship music playing. It was very simple. But as we invited the Holy Spirit to come, he did. He filled. And this one person and others were affected as well. And joy came and peace came. Listen, I want to encourage you with something. The antidote to those thoughts, the antidote to those fears is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. And he meant be being filled. It's an ongoing daily thing. And I want to encourage you every day to stop, pause in quietness and even say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, take the oil of your presence and rub it on my mind and fill my spirit. I need you to protect me from all that's out there. I need you to protect me from those flies that want to come and buzz around me and give me lies and tell me things that aren't true and bring fear to my heart. And you know what? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And I even pray right now that you'd sense the Holy Spirit helping you with that. And you know, one other thing I want to mention about that is part of our involvement with the Holy Spirit is following what 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 tells us. And it says that we need to capture every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Capture every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, we can't just allow our thinking to rage out of control. And what I found is whenever my emotions or my feelings are negative or there's wrong things happening, often it's just the way I'm thinking. It's the lies I'm believing. And I have to stop and say, what is the lie behind this? What am I believing? Pardon me. What am I believing? And when we do that, the Holy Spirit will show us, this is the lie you're believing. And I've talked about this before. I'm not going to dig into it too much right now, but I want to just say this. I think it's really important that you and I would pause and stop and say, Holy Spirit, what is the lie I'm believing right now that's producing this fear? What is the root of this? And then figure out what it is, write it down, write that lie down. Whatever it is, maybe the lie is that no one's going to take care of me. No one's going to care for me because of my past. I've learned to feel unsafe. And so no one's ever going to really look out for me or care for me. So therefore, I have to take care of myself. The pressure's on me. Maybe that's a lie you believe. Maybe God says, write that down and repent of it and renounce it. In other words, don't agree with it anymore. Say, Jesus, I renounce that lie and I repent of believing it. And then I affirm the truth. And the truth is that you can trust the Lord, right? That he will take care of you. Maybe you need to claim Psalm 23, right? That he's the good shepherd and that he's going to lead you beside still waters. He's going to make you lie down in green pastures and that you can trust him. Maybe that's the new truth for you. And you need to declare that and believe that every day. That's what I want to encourage you to do. Capture that lie, that buzzing. It's like the nose flies, those lies that buzz around. Capture them, identify them, repent of them, renounce your agreement with them, and then begin to declare what the truth is and attach scripture to it. I want to encourage you to do that this week, all right? So thirdly, I want to give you this picture. The shepherd provided for the needs of his sheep, enabling them to lie down and rest. I talked about the whole aspect of he makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, here's the reality. There are four needs that sheep have that if they're not taken care of, they can't rest. They can't lie down. They won't lie down. The first is this. If they're afraid, they won't lie down. The second thing is if they're at odds with each other and the sheep are restless, and I suppose that happens at times, and there's friction, they won't lie down. They won't be at peace. If they're tormented by the flies or parasites, I talked about that earlier, they're not going to lie down in peace. Or if they need food, if they feel hungry, you know, I don't know about you, but if I feel hungry, I don't feel like going to sleep. That can be hard. And so sheep are that way. They need food. So if those four areas are not met, they don't lie down. So here's the implication of it in Psalm 23, where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The implication or the inference is that he meets all those needs so that you can lie down. Isn't that something? He provides for all those needs so that you can actually rest and actually be at peace. He wants you to not be afraid. He wants you to know you're secure. Again, going back to the shalom and the safety and security. He wants you to be at peace with other people. One of the things that I realize in this time, it's easy to get out of sorts with people. And I see different people because of the COVID season, you know, relationships are being strained and there's difficulty. Well, here's the good news. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, the Messiah, he wants to help you be at peace with others. He's the Good Shepherd. He's going to help you to be at peace with other sheep, so to speak. And he'll show you how to do that. He'll show you how to walk in that peace. And then, of course, I already talked about the parasites and how he wants to protect our thinking and help us to believe the truth. And then finding food. You know, he wants to take care of those needs that you have. Both spiritually, you need spiritual food, you need to hear from him and grow, but also naturally. The Lord cares about your needs financially. He cares about your needs in your life and for your family. And I just want to encourage you with that today. He's the good shepherd, and he wants you to be able to rest and to lie down in peace. You know, there's a picture that my mom shared with me when I was younger. I was about 6 years old, and we were in a really tense time in our lives when I was six. It was the summer before I went into grade one. And my dad was getting a new job in another city. He was a pastor in a church. We were moving to a new community, and that was stressful. And there was some health issues that he had. My brother, who's handicapped, there was issues that he had that my mother had to deal with. So my father was getting a new job. We were having to move. He had some health issues. My brother had health issues. I have asthma. My mother was trying to deal with that. My mother had a lot of pressure, and there was financial pressures as well. You can appreciate what she was carrying. But here's the good news. Jesus understood that. He understands the pressures you're facing as well. And so one day, my mother was in the washroom getting ready and just getting ready to leave. And she looked down at the linoleum at the floor, and she saw sandaled feet. And she started looking up from the sandaled feet, and she saw like a robe, a white robe. And as she went up, the person, whoever was standing there, was holding a lamb in his hands. The lamb was so real. Like, this is an open vision that my mom received. The lamb was so real that when she looked at its eyes, it blinked. Can you imagine? That would have been incredible. And so she continued to look up, you know, almost like looking up to the face. But as soon as she started moving up that far, the whole vision disappeared. Well, she knew right away what Jesus was saying. He was saying, that's me, and the lamb is you, and I'm carrying you, and I've got this. I remember my mom. I mean, it gives me chills kind of thinking about it, how God would give that to her at a moment when she needed to know. Listen, some of you need that right now. Some of you feel that way, and you don't feel like God is near, and you've been feeling weary and stressed about many things. Can I tell you something? Not to mix the pictures too much. You're the lamb that Jesus is holding. He's the good shepherd. He's got you right here. He's holding you, and he says, you can lie down. You can rest, because I'm taking care of all those areas that you need to be satisfied. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Why? Because he's your peace. He's your shalom. He's your security. He's your wholeness. He cares about you today. So I want to encourage you with that. So today, as we celebrate this Advent season and we approach the arrival, the birth of our good shepherd, the birth of our Savior Jesus, I want to encourage you with three things. He's the door that gives you safety. He's the door of your life that gives you safety, protects you from the enemy, protects you from what would hurt you. He anoints your head with oil by his Holy Spirit. And that means the buzzing of the enemy doesn't have to settle, doesn't have to torment you. It means you can have peace in your mind and your spirit. And lastly, he provides for our needs so we can rest in his arms. Isn't that a beautiful picture today? I really want to speak that over you at this time. Here's the final passage of scripture I want to give you. It's from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And this passage is relating to the birth of Jesus, to the season that we're in. Here's what it says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Isn't that wonderful? I encourage you with that today. Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I speak that over you today. I speak peace over you today. And I just want to pray for you right now, and I just want to pray a prayer from Numbers chapter 6. This is the benediction that is so famous from the Word of God, and I want to give it to you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.